Wycong versus Ashcroft, Mr. Mwangi.
May it please the court, my name is Godfrey Mwangi. I represent the petitioner Wesong Mai, who petitions this court for review of a decision of the Board of Immigration Appeals ordering him removed from the United States because of a conviction in Illinois for aggravated fleeing and denying Mr. Mai asylum, withholding of removal, and withholding of removal under the Convention Against Torture based upon the China one-child policy and the fact that his parents had in the past violated that policy and had been persecuted by the Chinese government.
Mr. Mwangi, before we get to that, I want to talk a little bit about moral turpitude, because the board finds that his action of aggravated fleeing is a crime involving moral turpitude, and it's one of those broad phrases that someone needs to give meaning to. So one question is, why not the board? Another question is, you know, what do we understand by that? Do we understand dishonesty, fraud, you know, moral depravity of some kind, like you might say for a child pornographer or something? And if that's what we mean, then why isn't a demonstrated disdain for the law something that ought to count?
Your Honor, our position is taken from the words of the statute, the Illinois statute, that is. The board and the IJ point to subsection 204 sub A.
What are the words? Haven't these things been, moral turpitude is a very old phrase in law. So aren't there loads of cases that classify various crimes? Some do involve moral turpitude, some don't.
That is correct, Your Honor.
And so what would be examples of crimes that are not classified as crimes of moral turpitude?
Your Honor, any crime or offense that does not require an element of intent would not ordinarily be found to involve moral turpitude.
But aggravated fleeing from a police officer is not like, it strikes me as quite different from drunk driving. Drunk driving is, of course, reckless, it's highly undesirable and all the rest of it, but there's a different level of intent, it seems to me, in drunk driving from looking over your shoulder, realizing it's a police officer following you and gunning the accelerator. And there's a real intent there to evade the lawful demands of the law.
Judge Wood, the problem that we have with the board's analysis and the IJ's analysis is fetching the word willfully from one part of the statute, using that to arrive at a conclusion that there is an intent element. The intent element,
well,
if
wouldn't you agree that aggravated fleeing is a crime that involves intent?
Your Honor, because of the words of the Illinois statute, I would not, because the Illinois statute does not require that the prosecutor prove intent. And as a general rule,
but it does require fleeing. I mean, what I don't. Sometimes the notion of intent is built into one of the other words in a statute, it seems to me. Would you think so?
Your Honor, the board.
You have to know it's the police. It's the police that you're fleeing, don't you?
Your Honor, I concede that point. However, under the categorical approach, which this court has said is what immigration judges and the board must employ when looking at state statutes to determine whether Congress intended those to have the consequences under the Immigration Nationality Act, we have to look at the words of the statute, the elements in the generic form of that offense, and determine whether those words that
yeah, but,
in there.
But this aggravated fleeing, you know that the police are after you and you flee. So what is the That's deliberate conduct, deliberate defiance of the police. What more do you want?
Well,
now, as I say, if you have some list of crimes which have not been classified as crimes of moral turpitude, then we could see whether aggravated fleeing seems to belong with them. But
well, Your Honor, the board itself had ruled during the bond appeal, reversing the immigration judge's decision, that Mai was subject to mandatory detention, that he was not subject to mandatory detention because his crime was not an aggravated felony. And the reason they cited was because they believed it was a strict liability offense. That
how could it be a strict liability? I don't understand you. How could it be strict liability? Strict liability would be if you were speeding and there was a car following you and you didn't have any idea who it was, but it was a, you know, unmarked police car. But if you know it's a police car that's signaling you to stop and instead you speed up, you obviously know what you're doing. What does that have to do with strict liability?
Your Honor, the words of the Illinois statute, the particular subsection of which my client was convicted, do not have...
That's ridiculous.
Your Honor, we can...
You tell me what would be strict liability aggravated fleeing. What would be a set of facts under which liability would be strict, but you'd be guilty of the crime?
Your Honor, the speed limit is one element. If you're going above 21 miles per hour after the cop turns on the Mars lights and turns on the signal, the siren...
21 miles over the speed limit.
That is correct,
Well,
Your Honor.
You usually know what the speed limit is, don't you?
Yes, Your Honor, it is presumed that you do if you're
right.
driving.
Right, so then you know what's 21 miles over the speed limit.
Well, Your Honor, you have to also infer awareness on the part of the
defendant. He was going, what, 100 miles an hour? 105 miles?
To be
exact, everyone knows 105. There's no speed... There's no 85-mile speed limit.
But, Your Honor, you have to assume that he was aware that the police officer had turned on the signal and therefore required him to stop. That is not part of the
particular
subsection.
What do you mean? You're speeding away from a police car at 105 miles an hour and you don't know you're supposed to stop?
Your Honor...
You think he's just following you because see how fast you can go?
Your Honor, there's nothing in the record that says the police officer asked my client whether he was aware or at what time he became aware.
There's another thing that I don't understand, because under this crimes of moral turpitude part of 1227, it says, convicted of a crime involving moral turpitude committed within 5 years, you know, and is convicted of a crime for which the sentence of 1 year or longer may be imposed, is deportable. Now, his possession of the stolen vehicle, wasn't that punishable by more than a year?
Your Honor,
a year or more?
If you find that it was a crime involving moral turpitude, the facts in this case
show... Well, it's stolen, but there's no debate about the possession of the stolen motor vehicle being a...
Your Honor, my client was a passenger in the vehicle. He was not the driver. So the facts...
So you don't think that was moral turpitude either?
If you do the analysis under a divisible statute, Your Honor, it's not automatic the way that the board concluded or the IJ concluded. It's a divisible statute which prescribes both crimes that or conduct that might be conduct that involves moral turpitude and conduct that does not. In this case...
I'm sorry, he was not the driver of the 105-mile-an-hour vehicle?
No, Your Honor, that's not what I'm suggesting. It's in answer to Judge Posner's question about the PSMV. There is a totally different conviction. I'm not at all suggesting he was not the driver in the other offense.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Mwangi. Ms. Federici?
Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Carol Federighi from the U.S. Department of Justice. I represent the respondent, John Ashcroft, in this matter. The acts of moral turpitude have been variously defined as...
Well, what about this stolen vehicle offense? Mm-hmm. wasn't that? I thought that was unequivocally moral turpitude.
That is, Your Honor. However, the board, in its motion for reconsideration, and its ruling on the petitioner's motion for reconsideration, the board held that it was finding petitioner removable solely on the ground that aggravated fleeing was a crime of moral turpitude.
But why did it do that?
I'm not sure why it did that, Your Honor. If the court disagrees with the finding on aggravated fleeing, then it should remand to the board for
it
to address these other...
I don't understand that. I think it's waived. But what is the basis? If the possession of... maybe I'm misreading the statute, but if the possession of the stolen motor vehicle was a crime of moral turpitude, and it can be punished by a sentence of 1 year or longer, then why isn't he deportable, removable under the subsection I?
I'm not sure it's about the punishment, because that wasn't as one of the issues that we briefed. So I'm not sure if it's an offense that is punishable by at least a year of imprisonment.
Possession of a stolen motor vehicle?
I don't know which,
not
you know, punished, how divisible.
Not a felony?
Your Honor,
that can't be right.
Again, that issue is not before the court, since the board didn't base its holding on that.
Well, it's so frustrating dealing with the board. I mean, this is the first section. Why did they skip over the first section of the of crimes of moral turpitude statute and worry about whether this fleeing thing is a crime of moral turpitude? I don't understand it.
No, again, Your Honor, since it wasn't briefed, I don't know the answer to the question.
You don't know either.
And I
can
get back to you. I'm looking at pages 517 through 518 of the record, but it's not clear whether it's an offense that could be punished by up to a year of imprisonment.
Did he plead to that charge?
Excuse me? Yeah, he did plead to that. He did get probation, and I don't think he got any imprisonment. Oh, 45 days SWAP to be completed by, not sure what that is. But anyway, it mostly was probation that he got for that. Excuse me?
As an accomplice?
I'm not sure. It doesn't say, again, in the things I'm looking at right now, and as it wasn't briefed, I'm not up on all the facts.
The Illinois law says a person convicted of violation of this section shall be guilty of a Class II felony. The section is offenses relating to motor vehicles and includes this, person not entitled to possession of a vehicle, etc.
Mm-hmm. Is that 5/4-103?
Yes.
Okay.
That was the statute under which he's convicted.
Yeah, A1, Clause 2.
Yeah, and it says, you know, Class II felony.
And
felonies are punishable by a year or more in prison.
Mm-hmm. You know, I can't, the board didn't say why it wasn't looking at the other felony in addition to this one. But this one, the aggravated fleeing, was the basis for it.
But that's the problem there is that if you think of moral turpitude in the way the board has, inherently base, vile, or depraved and contrary to the accepted rules of morality and the duties owed between persons, you can either say that anyone who's willing to violate the law is that kind of base, vile, or depraved individual, etc., or you have to come up with some list on, you know, which column A is the ones that fit this definition and column B is not. And it's hard for me to see fleeing from a police officer in the same light that I would see a child pornographer or somebody who defrauds old people or other criminals who I think, at least from a precedential point of view, have certainly been found to be guilty of crimes of moral turpitude. Seems like an ordinary crime to me.
Well, yeah, I'm not sure how one defines an ordinary crime.
Well,
but
the point is,
you
can't have the whole universe of crimes inside this moral turpitude phrase, and then the question is, well, how do we figure out which subset belong there?
Well, this, as Your Honors are aware, this is aggravated fleeing, which is not just trying to evade a police officer, but trying to do so at a high rate of speed, over 20 miles over the speed limit.
And so why does that bring a moral dimension? Or is that word just meaningless?
Because, well, doing so at a high rate of speed, the reason it was made an aggravated felony or an aggravated fleeing as opposed to regular fleeing is clearly because it endangers the people around you while you're doing that. So everyone knows the horror that ensues.
Well, it's negligent homicide, negligent operation, motor vehicle that causes death. Would that be a crime of moral turpitude?
I'm not sure that about that exact crime, but driving under the influence where injury ensues has been held by some courts not to be a crime of moral turpitude.
Look, what I don't understand, is this definition of crime of moral turpitude in the immigration statute, is this a standard definition of crimes of moral turpitude or non-standard?
It's a standard term of art, Your Honor. It's been a term that the courts and the statutes have used for decades. This court, there's a case that this court defined moral turpitude in 1931. So it's been a concept that's been...
So what I don't understand is why neither side in this case seems to have done any research on how crimes are classified under this standard historic meaning of moral turpitude.
Well, I'm not sure what you mean by research. On page 20...
You cited one case.
There were two cases I cited in my brief that I thought are useful, because one of them, this is on page 22 of the brief, and one of them, Smalley versus Ashcroft, the court held that...
No, those are immigration cases.
Right.
The point is, look, if the definition of moral turpitude in the immigration laws is the standard common law meaning of moral turpitude, then you have thousands of cases you could look at and you could find us something that was analogous to aggravated fleeing.
I did find immigration cases, like you said, but those are...
But there are very few of them. There are no aggravated fleeing moral turpitude cases. But if the term means the same thing in the immigration laws that it means in the common law for the last 300 years, you should be able to find an analogous case.
As I said, I cited two cases in my brief that I thought are analogous. One, holding that an alien's agreement to conceal drug money was
pretty remote. I don't know. That's your idea of an analogy?
And then one, concealment of a felony is also a crime of moral turpitude. In both of those cases, those are analogous to this case because he's evading apprehension by the police, again, trying to conceal something that's going on and not yielding to authority or
what was he trying to conceal by his fleeing?
We don't know. The record doesn't show that.
So what makes you think he's trying to conceal?
Well, he was trying to evade...
Yes, I know, but do you ever watch the television channel that deals with high-speed police chases?
Yeah, oddly enough, that...
Well, what you notice in those cases, the people who are fleeing from the police, they're just nuts or they're drunk or something like... They're rarely actually serious felons. That's part of the humor of the program, right? When the person is finally pulled over after fleeing at 150 miles an hour and asked why he's doing it, they never have a coherent answer. So how do we know this person was trying to conceal a felony?
Yeah, I'm
some
not
people,
saying...
Some people, they hear like a dog or so, they hear the siren and they take off.
That doesn't... The fact that he might not have been concealing an underlying felony doesn't mean make his
well, certainly we can
conduct
analogy.
It doesn't make his conduct any less turpitudinous. He's still trying.
Well, it does. You say that concealing a felony—that's your analogy.
That was my analogy. Yes, in those cases,
and his
that they're
is open and notorious.
That's true, but it's still an evasion of authority.
Isn't that really the bottom line? What you're talking about? Fail to yield to authority.
Yes, fail to yield to authority and doing
so
in a way that endangers the lives of others.
All right, well, let's start with fail to yield to authority, mm-hmm. And that's really the bottom line of this, really. And the question is that reasonable to say that's a violation of moral turpitude?
Yeah.
That's all, right?
That's, yeah. And my time is up, but if you want me to continue to address that.
If you have an answer, then go ahead.
Well, the answer is in my brief, and yes. I mean, requiring citizens to yield to the legitimate requests of authority is an essential rule of civilized society.
Does a crime of moral turpitude have to be a felony, or can it be a misdemeanor?
Well, for the statute here to be triggered, it has to be a crime that you can be sentenced for over a year or two. So in this case, it would be a felony. But I don't know if the general definition of moral turpitude would encompass misdemeanors or lower-level crimes. Because in this case,
well,
we're
suppose you just, you know, police orders you to move on or something. Mm-hmm. You're watching an accident, and you refuse, and you define authority.
Yes, that's true. But in this case, there was the additional element of doing so at a high rate of speed that endangers others. And, I mean, we can all agree that we don't want those, as funny as they may be on TV, we don't want those high-speed chases going through our neighborhood.
They're very dangerous.
Yes,
but then on
dangerous.
The other hand, you know, we have with this negligent homicide, you say it's not a crime of moral turpitude.
Some courts have held, yes.
This court has held.
This court.
Okay, well, thank
okay,
you very
thank
much,
you.
Ms. Federighi. So, Mr. Mwangi, how much time does he have? 1 minute? Anything further?
Oops. Your Honor, the board has analyzed the fleeing aspect in matter of Joseph, and in that case, the board was reviewing a Maryland statute and distinguished a depraved act from an act of fleeing to remove oneself from a particular location. And I think lumping all crimes together and saying they involve moral turpitude is a slippery slope because standards do change over time, and as the court has observed, in certain locations, people hear a dog bark and immediately run. And so it is unclear what the board is looking at when it says we know it is a crime involving moral turpitude. And the rules, I believe we've briefed from page 20 in our brief, what the Supreme Court has done over the years with crimes involving moral turpitude and what the board has done to define what that phrase means, and I think the board should have followed its own rules. In this case, it departed.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Moore. Thank you to both counsel. Next case for argument.